الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. On one occasion, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they noticed that the Prophet alayhi salam was so abundant in his worship that his feet began to swell. And there are a series of ahadith that discuss this notion of the Prophet ﷺ's feet swelling because he was so abundant in his worship. Now, you know that when a person stands, and if they stand for a long period of time, their feet begin to swell. You can ask a teacher, a classroom teacher, who has to stand 7 or 8 hours a day sometimes, and they tell you that at the end of the day, their feet are swollen. You can ask somebody who happens to work in a construction industry, and they spend most of the day on their feet. At the end of the day, they can clearly show you that their feet are swollen. So it's part of human physiology that when a human being stands for a long period of time, their feet begin to swell. Now, people will have swollen feet for different circumstances. Some people say, I stood in line 8 hours to get tickets for a basketball game. My feet are so swollen. Some people will say, I work so hard in order to earn my wealth, my feet are swollen. But in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ajib, that his feet were swollen due to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many people can say that, I stood so long and prayed so long that my feet were swollen? Although it's not anything particular to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not that only his feet would swell were a person to stand that long. It's part of our human physiology. If anybody were to stand that long, they get swollen feet or edema. We call it edema medically. They get swollen feet. So this is one of the very special characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was so into his worship and so driven to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that consistently, you'll see in hadith, various people coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complaining that, Ya Rasulullah, your feet are swollen because you're worshipping so much. And it was a consistent thing. This wasn't something that happened once. It wasn't something that happened twice. It was something that regularly happened. He so regularly worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially throughout the night, that his feet would swell. Now, the interesting thing is that we should be able to appreciate that in and of itself. And it should be a mark of a messenger in a way, because the messengers are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Sahaba, they took it one step further. And they came, on some occasions, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, you know, Ya Rasulullah, you're worshipping so much and your feet are swelling when you worship, but isn't it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you? Isn't it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all of any possibility of a mistake? Were a mistake to occur, theoretically, were a mistake to occur from you, it's established from the Quran that what any possible mistake that would occur by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is already forgiven. So they would come to the messenger and they would say, Ya Rasulullah, you stand so much in prayer, you stand so much in worship, but everything is forgiven for you. And this highlights a very important notion, in that many times the acts that we do, they're driven by some underlying desire. And one of the driving forces of acts of worship is forgiveness. Right? I mean, there's different reasons why people perform worship. One reason we perform worship is because we have to. Because my name is Muhammad, and Muhammad is supposed to be Muslim, and Muslims are supposed to pray. So the person simply prays. Either it's part of their culture or part of their habit, or they were sort of raised that way, or if they just feel like it's something they have to do. So that's one thing that may drive a person to worship. Another thing that may drive a person to worship is they may be afraid. They may say, if I don't do this, what will Allah do with me on the Day of Judgment? I don't want to go to the hellfire. So that would be a reason for a person to be driven towards worship. Another person might say, I just want to be in Jannah. I want to live a life of a king. I want everything. I want to eat and I want to just relax and I want that all my wishes be fulfilled. And that may drive a person to worship. And so the Sahaba, they came to Rasulullah ﷺ with one of the fundamental premises of why a person would worship. And they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, you stand so much in prayer and your feet are swollen. Yet, isn't it that all of your sins, all of the possibility, theoretically were some mistake to arise from you? Isn't it that that's already been forgiven, whether it be in the future or whether it be in the past? And so Rasulullah ﷺ, he made a statement that is often quoted by our scholars, and it's something that it's almost something that each of us should memorize. He just said a few words in response. He said, "Afala akun abdan shakura." Afala akun abdan shakura. If it's that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so merciful to me that were a mistake to arise, it would be forgiven, then shouldn't I be thankful to my Lord? Shouldn't I do shukr of my Lord? And that was enough. That rhetorical question, and it's a rhetorical question back to the Sahaba, they're not expecting an answer. Oh yeah, that's right, you're right. Just that statement was enough to silence all of the companions and the scholars till the Day of Judgment. Because it quiets everyone. Because it highlights the underlying premise of the worship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is one of the highest levels of what drives human beings to worship, is to be thankful. Now, when a person, one of the signs of a person progressing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they learn to be thankful for that which they have as opposed to complaining for that which they don't have. It's a very important premise in our deen. One of the signs of approach of towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the servant learns to be thankful for that which they have as opposed to complaining for that which they don't have. And it's when they reach such a status that they become thankful to their Lord, and when they become thankful to their Lord, that becomes the fundamental driving force that leads them to worship. And it's in that circumstance that a person can easily worship hours at night. Easily worship hours at night. Now, worshiping hours at night is not a laundry list thing. It's not a listed thing that if I put it on my checklist, it'll automatically occur. No, you can't do that. You could say, I'm going to sleep all day and I'm going to worship all night. You won't be able to do it. You won't be able to do it with the drive and the desire that is necessary in such a beautiful act. But what underlies that and what allows the servant to approach and achieve that is thankfulness. It's when they learn to be thankful for what they have. Now, the goal of Islam, one of the goals of Islam is that the servant learn to be thankful for what they have. And learn to look at what they have and say, Alhamdulillah. And to not complain about something they don't have. These are two things that go hand in hand. And what is the goal of shaitan? The goal of shaitan is opposite. It's to make you forget the billions of blessings that have been bestowed upon you. And to highlight and zoom in at high power on one thing that you don't have. And make you think that you have nothing because you don't have that one thing. And it's ajeeb because each of us have been given billions of blessings. Literally billions of blessings. Okay, and we have not been given just a few things. Everybody's been given billions of blessings and you haven't been given 5 or 10 things. And the Sharia says, focus on the billion things that you've been given. And don't worry about the 5 to 10 things. That's a part of your patience in this life to show that you're thankful to Allah. And shaitan trains us or calls us to ignoring the billions of blessings and instead turning to the two or three things that we don't have and making them the biggest issue in our life. And once that occurs, now look, the person who learns to be thankful for any one of the billion things that they've been given, it's not even a billion, it's more than that. Because it clearly comes in the Quran that were you to count the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to do it. So it's got to be more than a billion. But I'm just putting billion as a number so that we can capture something in our mind. If we were to be thankful for even one of the billions of blessings that we've been given, then our life would be made. And all Shaitan has to do is to make us complain about one thing, and he has you on the path that he wants you to be on. Because it wipes out the whole force behind worship. Now, if a person, you know, Ajib, most people in the world don't even have a home. Right? You look at all of humanity. Most people in the world don't own their own home. Okay? But you'll meet Muslims and they own their own home and it's enough space for them. But rather than saying, Alhamdulillah, I have a home, they'll say, well, you know, I could use 500 more square feet. And yeah, I admit, you know, the little person who's achieved a little bit more in the deen, no, brother, I admit this is a great house. The backyard's a little bit small. Right? Or, you know, I have no complaints about my house. Alhamdulillah, we pray here and everything. But I don't have a basement. You don't know, how badly we need a basement. So this is human nature. Human nature is to forget about all that you've been given and to immediately focus on the one thing that we haven't been given or the two things that we haven't been given and hound on them. And that destroys the human being's worship. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ was so thankful for one blessing. What's the one blessing? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had overlooked the possibility of mistake. That one blessing, drove him to worship at night over and over and over again, such that his feet would swell consistently. SubhanAllah. Now, you know, sometimes we hear a hadith, right? For example, you hear the hadith that an individual who makes wudu, his sins are washed away when he washes his hands. And his sins are washed away when he washes his feet. And his sins are washed away when he washes his face. How many of us have even prayed 2 rak'ah to just thank Allah for that opportunity that occurs 5 times a day? That is an amazing opportunity that Allah gives us the opportunity to cleanse ourselves in such a way that we don't even have to do anything except wash with water, which is beneficial to us anyway. And that simple washing is not only washing away the filth, but it's washing away the sin as well. And how many of us can say that we prayed even one night to thank Allah that our wudu is a mechanism by which we can be purified? How many of us can say that we know that the Prophet ﷺ established that each prayer wipes away the sins between the previous prayer? How many of us have prayed 2 rak'ah even to thank Allah that you gave us the opportunity to pray and it wipes away sin after sin after sin? How many of us have said, Ya Allah, thank you for the blessing of Ramadan, and we prayed one night to thank Allah for the blessing of Ramadan? How many of us, in the case of Hajj, I'm fine, once in a lifetime, have not gone for Hajj, have thanked Allah for the Hajj? Going for Hajj is one thing, you know, we go for Hajj. But how many of us have come back from Hajj and then said, Ya Allah, you gave me this opportunity, let me thank you in some way. That I'm so thankful that I'm driven to not sleep this week. Because what you allowed me to perform was far beyond what my wildest dreams could have imagined. We don't have that. We're looking at the things that we don't have. And we spend the night fighting about them. Husband and wife will stay up all night fighting with each other about why the food wasn't warm for dinner or why a gift wasn't given on this day. And they'll argue hours at night. But neither of them have ever stayed up any night to thank Allah for His blessings. But they can count so many nights that they stayed up and they fought. How many times people come and sit in front of me, they say, you don't know what a headache I have. My wife didn't let me sleep last night. She argued with me all night. People can quote the number of days, yet they can't quote the number of times that they thanked Allah. The sign of a child is that they forget the blessings that Allah has given them. And they focus on the one or two things that they don't have. And the sign of an Islamic adult, spiritually mature adult, is that they calculate the blessings and they are so awed by one that they can't get to the next. They can't even move to the next because they're so awed by the first blessing the moment they reflect on it. They begin to reflect on the fact that Allah gave them an eye, and they can't get to the fact that there's a second eye as well. That's the sign of a Muslim. That is the true sign of a Muslim. Rather than saying, how come my eyes aren't landing on a new piece of furniture in my house? That person is spiritually immature. So if we desire the depth of ibadah, it's not something that we just put down on a list and we can check off the box and Allah will give it to us. Depth of ibadah is driven by an underlying appreciation of the blessings of Allah. That I'm so thankful to my Lord that the sun rose. I can't get beyond that fact. Let me bow in His worship. I'm so thankful to my Lord that food was available at this meal. I can't get beyond that. Whether it tasted good or not doesn't matter. It's food. And they get stuck on that point and they must bow themselves in worship. This is the sign. This is the sign of spiritual maturity. I can tell you, how many times, I have a whole laundry list of people who want to come and sit and talk. How many times have people come and sit and said to me, I'm so thankful to my Lord. Everybody wants to talk about a problem. Everybody wants to say, I can't deal with this part of my life. I can't deal with that part of my life. This person doesn't treat me this way. The weather's not cooperating with me. My job is not cooperating with me. And they completely are oblivious to the fact that they can stand up and move their joints. They're completely oblivious to the fact that they're eating three meals a day. They're completely oblivious to the fact that they're sitting in the masjid. Allah gave them the gift of Islam. And they're so caught up in that which they have not been given. That's spiritual death. Spiritual death. That, in anything, there's so many blessings. If there's a husband and wife, there's 99 good things that exist between that husband and wife, and each one inherently has deficiencies because each one is a human being. There is no perfect wife on this planet. And there is no perfect husband on this planet. But what's perfect is that Allah provided that opportunity to be husband and wife. So we should bask in that perfection of the opportunity to have nikah. Rather than Allah left us alone in a corner and said, you have to now live a celibate life for 50 years, then you'll get Jannah and there you'll be married. It could have been that way. It could have been that way and we would be complaining then. We would be complaining, we'd say we can't have nikah. Then the complaint would have been that. This is what children do. They complain, you give it to them, then they complain about the thing. This is spiritual immaturity. If we desire to achieve a closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that closeness will come through shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through being cognizant of every blessing. Learning to appreciate every blessing. Now you see that in any particular field, the field is always defined by the ability to appreciate something that already exists. For example, a physician is nothing special. What is a physician? It's an individual who has the ability to appreciate illness in a human being. It's there, we all see it, but we don't understand the depth behind it. So what is a physician? It's someone who learns to appreciate how to look at an illness, how to diagnose an illness, and then subsequently how to treat that illness. So they see things a little bit differently. So what is a Muslim? A Muslim is the person who learns to appreciate all the blessings around them. And what are the demands of the Quran? The demands of the Quran are basically this. The Quran tells you, look at the sun, look at the earth, look at the moon, look at the world around you, look at the sky, look at history, look at the fact that you were given the messenger, look at the fact that you were given the Quran, look at the fact that you are allowed to circle the house of Allah, look at the fact that you've been given Ramadan. It hits you with blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And that should be enough to floor the human being, to floor the Muslim, because the Muslim is the one who perceives these things. You know, I can give a five-year-old a medical textbook. They won't understand it because they can't perceive it. Although it's fact, they can't perceive it. The Quran is establishing fact. The question is, do we perceive it? If we can't perceive it, the defect is not the Quran, the defect is us. It's our inability to perceive. But the Quran's demand is to realize that there are countless blessings around us. Right? And to be constantly thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those. Now the funny thing, is that life is tough and we do have difficulties. And nobody can deny those difficulties. But if you actually want to uplift those difficulties, then it's simply by being thankful that Allah takes care of those difficulties as well. Spiritually and physically. Because Allah clearly states in the Quran that, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you thank me, I will increase you. So it all goes back to shukr anyway. If you have a problem with your brother, and you're fighting with your blood brother, and you want that your blood brother be closer to you, they will never be closer to you if you go and knock on his door and tell him, you're the worst brother in the world, I hate you, don't you know how disgusting you are, you know you don't let me sleep at night, because I'm worried about our relationship. Which brother then is going to say, oh, let me hug you, that was so deep? Nobody's going to say that. Nobody's going to say that. You're going to push that person away, because complaining pushes human beings away, it pushes the mercy of Allah away. But if you were to turn to Allah and say, Ya Allah, thank you for providing me with a brother. Some people don't even can't even have the notion that they have a brother. And Ya Allah, if you were to, Ya Allah, I thank you for this, and I thank you for this, and I thank you for this. Allah knows the dua in your heart that you hide away because you're so thankful to Allah. And Allah is very quick to answer it. Allah is very quick to answer it when it's beneficial for us. And if it's not beneficial for us, then we're patient with it anyway. But if you want to look at difficult life, then we could say that the Prophet ﷺ had many things to complain about. He could have complained, my people are throwing me out. Where do you find that complaint? Show me the statement of Rasulullah ﷺ where he's complaining about his people throwing him out. He could have complained. He could have said, my mother passed away, my father passed away. Which complaint do we see of that? Where do we find that complaint? Well, he could have complained when I was a child, my parents passed away. He could have complained, my children passed away in my arms. Which one of us would be able to even stand that? We wouldn't be able to withstand that. He could have said, my people threw me out. There are many things he could have complained about, yet he was focused on the blessings that were bestowed upon him. And he's focused on one blessing, subhanAllah, on that one blessing that Allah had forgiven the potential for a mistake. Let alone how many more blessings were bestowed upon Rasulullah, and he was constantly thankful for them. So we have to, if we desire to wake up in the night and to pray to Allah, if we desire that maybe one night, just one night, that our feet swell, rather than standing and because we stood and played video games, but because we stood and we prayed, then it's going to come from that type of attitude. It's not going to come from, my wife doesn't treat me this way, my husband doesn't treat me that way, my mother-in-law doesn't treat me the way I deserve to be treated, my father-in-law doesn't treat me the way I deserve to be treated, my in-laws aren't treating me with the respect that I deserve to have, this person, my boss doesn't treat me like how I should be treated. That's life. That's not going to go away by complaining. It goes away by learning to turn away from it and saying, well, alhamdulillah, look at these other 50 million things that I do have. Look, people are starving, I'm not. People don't have a roof over their head, I'm fine. People are dying of disease, I'm healthy. You know how much problems there are in the world? The problem is that we live in a bubble. You know, we don't even know what goes on out there. And we just surround ourselves in our little bubble and we expect everything to be the way we want it. That's being a baby. You know, we're babies. We're spiritually, and forget about being infants, we're spiritually babies. We have no appreciation of the suffering of the people around us. We have no appreciation of the difficulty of life. And instead, we grew up with a silver spoon and we want a gold one. So we have to, and that's not going to produce a Muslim. It'll produce a Muslim, it's not going to produce the depth of ibadah that we desire. Depth of ibadah comes from thanking Allah and seeking out other people's difficulties and alleviating them so that they thank Allah. And they make dua for us. This is called Islam. And there are very few people practicing this type of Islam in this day and age. But this is what the demand of Islam is. To be thankful for that, whatever it is, whatever it is. There are some things worthy of complaining about, but they're very few. But anyway, but we all have something. We all have been given so many things. That's something, so many things. Just try to go beyond your hand. The fact that the joints bend, the fact that you can perceive, the fact that you can touch, the fact that you can move. I mean, it should stop there. We shouldn't even, I shouldn't be able to go beyond my hand, and I should totally be floored and worship for the rest of my life. Because this is such an amazing creation. I can move it, I can turn it, I can grab with it, I can make takbir with it. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah, that I can make takbir with it, that I have the sense to take these hands and to raise them this way. When people are doing so many other things with their hands, that Allah gave me the wisdom that I can make takbir with my hands. SubhanAllah. That's enough. It's enough. Life is life. It's always going to be difficult. If one thing is not there, another problem will be there. But we don't focus on those problems. We focus on that which Allah has given us. And that is enough to pacify. You know, a baby gets a pacifier and then they don't cry. I'm pacified by my hand. I'm pacified by the fact that I can make takbir with my hand. I'm pacified by the fact that I get an opportunity to look at Muslims. I'm pacified. There's so many things to pacify us. Yes, we want to cry. There's difficulty. It's life. Life is meant to be difficulty. Sometimes it drives you to cry. But there's so many pacifiers. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to have the hikmah to thank Him for that which He has bestowed upon us. And may He use it, may we use that thankfulness as a mechanism to increase us both physically and spiritually, both in this life and in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.